Welcome to the Law of Attraction in Action podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to inspire you to live amazing lives through the Law of Attraction and help you see how powerful you really are. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews, and I will give you inspirational talks on my Monday session. So thank you so much for joining me, and happy manifesting!
Are you looking to connect with more like-minded people? Are you wanting to find a place to raise your vibration so you can attract all that you are wanting? Beginning Wednesday, July 1st at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, I'll be hosting weekly Joy Chats. These free Zoom calls are meant to be a place for all who want to live in joy and want to help raise the vibration of the planet. On these calls, everyone will get a chance to share what brings them joy. When we do this together, we are able to collectively raise the vibration of the planet. But I need you to help with this mission. To learn more, click the link in the show notes, because together we can make a difference.
Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and I'm your host. And today I bring to you people from all over the world and all walks of life who are here to inspire you to live in the Law of Attraction so you can have an amazing, miraculous life. So today's guest is my dear friend, Danielle Isaac, and I've known her for a couple years. Actually, when I first became an entrepreneur, like right out of the gate, she was one of my first mentors. So I'm so grateful to have her here. She's also been in my show. I don't know, was it about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, Danielle? Yeah, you've been on my show. And so I've been wanting to bring you back because you have so many great stories, but something showed up for us recently. And I want you to share your amazing, miraculous story in Peru. But before I do, for those who don't know her, let me tell you a little bit about Danielle. Of course, I have to get my phone to work. All right, here we go. So Danielle Isaac is a business and life mastery consultant focused on helping entrepreneurs create personal and financial freedom. She's also the author of two amazing Amazon best-selling books, Energized and Empowered Leadership. So Danielle, thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked, of course we're friends, but I've seen your journey. You went to Peru right before COVID happened. You went to Machu Picchu, which I've been to Machu Picchu. So I was really paying attention to your trip because it's just a miraculous experience. You went with your daughter, but something happened on that trip. And that's why I wanted you back on my show, because I just want to show the world, of course, that miracles happen all the time. I just finished my 365 days of miracles. If people don't know, check that out. But I believe miracles happen. I believe life is in the flow. And Danielle is one of those people who practices this being in the flow. She understands Abraham Hicks. She really gets this stuff. So Danielle, take us to your experience and what happened in Peru. This is such a crazy story.
It is a crazy story. Yeah, so lots of crazy things happened in Peru. I decided to go to Peru because a friend of mine had mentioned going on a spiritual retreat. And I thought, that sounds really cool to just do a spiritual retreat, like no other reason than to, you know, go develop your soul, you know, so to speak. And so another friend of mine had posted that she was arranging a trip to Peru to go see Machu Picchu as well as some of the other ruins. And then they were also going to be staying at Wilca Tika's 7 chakra gardens. And I thought, boy, that sounds really amazing. And she showed pictures of these gardens. They are gorgeous. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to go to Peru, I've been thinking about going to Peru for easily over 10 years. I had a picture of Machu Picchu on my credit card because it was one of those, nice, you know, bucket list items. I want to go to Machu Picchu. So that's why I ended up going to Peru, is a friend of mine arranged it, and she had picked the most beautiful locations. And I knew by going with somebody who was familiar with the area, you know, I was going to be guided along the way, and she would know where to go. And so anyway, that's what took me to Peru. Also, originally I was intending to go by myself because I knew that I was supposed to go, but I didn't quite know why. So I was open to whatever was going to unfold while I was there. And my daughter, you know, the day that I was booking the airline tickets, I just checked in and I have a 12-year-old daughter and I said, what am I going to do with her? Do I feel good about leaving her here with family or do I want to take her? When I checked in, I felt very strongly that I should take her. So pretty soon our trip became not just me, but my daughter going as well. And I checked in with the lady who was arranging. I'm like, is it okay if I bring my daughter? And she's like, she was excited. Oh yes, absolutely. You know, I'd love for her to come. So she gave me a nice discounted rate so I could bring my daughter along. And I'm so glad I did because when we got to Peru, we went through Lima and then we landed in Cusco, which brings you closer to Machu Picchu and the ruins around that area.
And Cusco's a really cute town, by the way.
It's really neat.
Super
cute.
Very historic
town where the Spaniards came in and built some like huge churches, you know, beautiful churches. And it is kind of a mesh between the Incans and the Spaniards construction. Mm-hmm. You know, there's actual buildings that have both in them, which is really pretty cool, right? To have a city uh-huh. that's got both of those. Uh-huh. So we spent a day and a half in Cusco just acclimating to the
altitude's altitude. It really affected me. I don't know about you, but it is really high. You feel it.
It is really high, but the person that was our guide, her name's Adele Good. And she, you know, her intention is to do more of these trips to sacred sites around the world, because that's what she does. She just travels to different countries and sacred sites, which sounds amazing in and of itself.
Right. I want her on my podcast so we can all learn how she manifested that life.
Yeah. And I love her story too. Yeah. We should definitely get her on your podcast. So the main thing though was that here we are, we're in the town, we've got all these ruins and she was adamant that we drink they have an Andean mint tea that mm-hmm. helps you acclimate, your blood acclimate to the higher altitude. So she said the first day is really about relaxing and you getting acclimated, drinking this tea. So we drank that and coca tea to get acclimated. And really for the most part, the altitude didn't affect me much. I mean, I think more the next day I noticed it, not the day of, just feeling a little bit off, but not a lot. But we went and visited several of the ruins in the Cusco area. So you don't actually have to go very far outside of Cusco to find one of the places. It sounds like sexy woman, but sexy woman.
Oh, nice. You're like, I'm there.
Yeah. So you just say sexy woman though. People know what you're talking about. Everybody knows sexy woman and beautiful old ruins, Incan ruins, and they're huge. They're massive ruins right outside of Cusco. Uh-huh. So, really spectacular, but we spent day and a half and then we had a shuttle that took us into the Sacred Valley of Peru, which is where we were going to spend the rest of our time and brought us a lot closer to Machu Picchu. The altitudes are a lot lower there.
Right.
And that's also where the chakra gardens are, or the sacred gardens. So we arrived at the resort and, you know, it's a group of us. There's five of us. There are four women and my daughter. And we're all kind of getting to know each other. We got to the resort and just, you know, here I saw the pictures that my friend was posting on Facebook, which were gorgeous. And then seeing it in person, it was just, oh my God, like the flowers were just, you know, covering the walls, just bright blues, bright purples, reds, the hummingbirds are just tons of hummingbirds buzzing around, butterflies. I mean, it was like this paradise. It was like the Garden of Eden, you know, that we just dove into. And I was like, I'm in seventh heaven because I love, you know, flowers and birds and all of this. So I'm like, oh, that's a such and such, so, you know, that's bougainvillea and all this stuff. And Adele's just giggling the whole time behind me because, you know, she knows I love flowers and can identify them. So anyway, I think we were there a day and a half. So we had that partial day and then the next day, and then the owner of the resort or the manager of the resort announced that the Peruvian government had decided to shut its borders down for quarantine. It was shutting everything down for quarantine. And he said, so basically you have a half an hour to decide. He said, we already have a charter here taking you a scheduled to take you to a sacred site today. He said, but you know, we can easily arrange for that shuttle to take you to the airport if you want to go, but you got to go on, you need to decide in the next half hour if you're going to go.
That must have been so hard.
And we're like, oh my God, right? And you're like, okay. So we talked about kind of the logistical, a little bit about the logistics. And then we said, you know, each of us should go back to our room and just really listen to our hearts of what we're meant to do. And so I went back to the room with Katie, my daughter, and said, hey, what do you feel like? You know, and she said, I really want to stay, Mom. I really feel like I'm supposed to stay.
You just got there, right?
We just got there.
I mean, essentially.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was like, we came all this way, you know, and my heart was just saying, no, you came here for a reason. You need to stay. And, you know, people at home may not be happy. Who knows when you're exactly when you're going to get home. I mean, we don't know what's going to unfold, but you need to have faith and trust that you're supposed to be here.
Faith and trust. Yes. Faith and trust.
Yes. So we both my daughter and I were like, absolutely, we need to stay. We sat and talked to the other individuals and kind of helped them come up with the decision that was right for them. And essentially all five of us said, yes, we're going to stay.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I got goosebumps. I don't know why. It's like, obviously that was the right decision. That's what you did.
Totally the right decision, because it was, as we were there, we realized that we were all there for lots of different reasons, but a lot of it was for our own spiritual growth and development.
Was it your intention? Your intention before you went out that this is a spiritual journey, and oh my gosh, did this not open up a spiritual journey? Because
it so did.
Put you in that position where you're in this beauty, but you have this fear. That's the spiritual journey right there. When fear's at you and you're sitting, I want to listen to my heart. And you listen to your heart. That's the journey, isn't it? All right. So go on.
Yeah. Trusting your heart. That's the journey. Yeah. And you know, the biggest thing for us is like, we knew we wanted to stay. We didn't know how we were going to get out, but we were in the most beautiful place. So we knew we were safe. This was basically a walled off resort. So when we were in the resort, we were totally taken care of, and the manager, he was amazing. It's a couple, a man and a woman. And he was such a caretaker for us, you know, just wanting to, he's actually from California. And so he really understood what it was like to be an American stuck in Peru, you know, during this quarantine. And he was so protective of us. It was so amazing how well he took care of us. And he's like, I know you guys are here. We'll do everything we can to work with you on the rates. You're staying here a lot longer. We're respecting your wallet. We want to make sure that you guys have good, nutritious food. A lot of the food is actually grown there. Not all of it, but a lot of it, the vegetables and fruits, a lot of that's grown there, which is wonderful. So it's fresh, healthy stuff. Everything is vegetarian. Uh-huh. So we were eating super healthy food. They were great about having food on hand and just making sure we were taken care of the whole time. So we could just relax and just be present with this amazing experience that we were having. And we were, as a group, it was amazing because things would just unfold for us. You know, I don't know if you've ever read the book Celestine Prophecy.
Mm-hmm. But I've not read it, but I know of it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You probably want to read that.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think it's been one I've been wanting to read, but isn't it a really big book? And I think I get intimidated by it. Is that, I'm maybe thinking of a different book.
It's not too bad. It's a pretty quick read.
I need to read it. Yeah.
Yeah. I lose interest pretty fast in books. I'll read books, but usually halfway through. This one I can read all the way through.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to read it then.
Yeah. So I read that I had read it when I was a teen, and then I read it again about a month and a half. I read it in December, November, December timeframe. So, and this was March when we were in Peru. So anyway, the Celestine Prophecy, basically one of the things it says is trust that every conversation that shows up is the conversation you're meant to be in. And that there's both a giving and a receiving. There's something that usually you're supposed to give to somebody else, some piece of information. And there's also something that they're meant to give to you. So just be open to whatever's meant to unfold in any of those conversations. And so I always operate with, I don't need to control anything. I don't need to control who shows up and when, right? The people will show up when they're meant to show up. And so we would just kind of organically bump into each other, the people in this group, and have these different interactions, but they would be really profound interactions. We had one gal in here who, get this, she booked her tickets to go, I think she said 3 days prior to the trip. Something inside her told her she just needed to go. What's even more crazy about that is she owns five business locations. So she's not, you know, not sitting around at home. She's super, super busy, but something told her to just drop everything and go. And she didn't know why, but she said it was like a magnet was pulling her there. Well, it turns out that she is an incredible intuitive, and she was, she would come and, you know, she would blindside me a lot of times, like, Danielle, you really need to work on such and such issue. And I'm like, how, you know, like issues with my husband, you know, relationship issues, issues with stuff going on in my household, and maybe things that I'm struggling with in my own mind. And I'm like, okay, how do you know about those things? And I'm like, clearly, you know, you're an intuitive because you know way too much of what's going on in my life.
Right. You're like, you didn't look through my journal, did you? Like, what happened? Right?
Like, and then those are things I don't even put in my journal. They're, you know, they keep them so locked up, you know. Yeah. And she's like, you know, your spirit guides are really saying you need to work on this. You need to work on this thing right here, because it's really holding you back from, you know, really stepping into being in more in grace and more compassionate and being more available so that they can send more people to you. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and sometimes I would get triggered because some of that stuff was so personal. I would just find myself getting feeling defensive. And so I'd have to go back to my room and journal it all out, because it was like deeply personal stuff that I needed to heal.
Yeah.
But she was doing that with the other women as well. And even a little bit with Katie, you know, and then as well as,
and Katie's your daughter, right?
Katie's my daughter. Yeah. As well as she was doing it with herself. So she was getting triggered by people in the group or something somebody would say, and it would trigger her. So we were watching all these different people getting triggered. Well, that was part of our experience that we learned while we were there, was to recognize where we were judging, where we were putting labels, where we were feeling defensive and reactive, and to start working on that stuff within ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because those are the areas that we need to focus on in order for us to grow. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that relates to everything, what everyone's going on with right now, because there is a lot of polarity. There's a lot of judgments, and everybody has it right now. So I'm glad you brought that up, because the greatness of all that is it has an opportunity for all of us to heal within ourselves, because everything's a reflection of us. If we're judging something, it's something with us, within us, needs to heal. So you guys were in this little, like, isolated, beautiful, sacred place, but I'm sure a bunch came up for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget. So I barely know this person. I never met her before the trip, and she sits down with me and we're at a table. I thought, well, I'll just sit down with her and get to know her a little bit. And all of a sudden she just looks at me and she goes, you know what? She goes, you know, we are a part of your matrix. And I just want to remind you of that we are, you called us all here, and that the aspects about us that you like are the aspects you like about yourself, and the aspects about us you don't like are the things you don't like about yourself.
Yeah.
And those are the things to look at. And I could tell that when she said things like that, that were like really profound, it wasn't her, right? There was her. Yes. And then there was this other something, that some wisdom that she was channeling.
Yeah.
And she would flip in and out where it would just be her. And then all of a sudden these like really mega profound things would come out of her. And Adele and I especially would be like, whoa, did you just catch that? What she just said. And then she admitted she's actually a channeler too. Right? And we're like, oh, okay. And she goes, so she helped us understand when she was actually channeling versus when it was, because she would flip in and out. You know, we didn't know what we were getting in the moment.
How crazy it is, you got a spirit guide or a channeler with you the whole trip. You know, I'm going down there for a soul journey type thing. And then here this happens. I think it's miraculous. Right. That
it was miraculous. And by the way, you know, one of my intentions was just to look for the miracles while I was down there. So.
Wow. So, okay. So what happened then?
So, you know, there was so many crazy things that like, it's hard to even describe, but one of the things was, I recognized that all the stuff that I needed to heal, that I've listened to a lot of Abraham Hicks, and so I was focusing a lot on staying just in a high vibration, feeling good, staying in a high vibration. And what this reminded me was, yes, do that, and also recognize the stuff that needs to still be healed, because the message that I kept hearing was, you need to focus on your own ascension. You need to focus on your, she said, it's great to be running your business. It's great to be doing all the things that you're doing, but your number one job is to focus on your ascension first. And I was like, you know, that's interesting, because I just kind of thought ascension would just be a natural process, and it is. But what she was saying is just focus on your own awareness, focus on your own consciousness, start to become conscious of your patterns and your thinking and why you do what you do. Because really what we're being asked to do right now is to stop judging, is to stop putting labels and stop putting frames on everything, putting everything in a box, and just to be open more and to heal those old parts. So one of the things that we did was, I think it was Adele who mentioned in the very beginning of doing some sort of fire ceremony in Peru, the Peruvians are called Quechua. They actually do a ceremony. They very much revere Mother Earth. They call her Pachamama, as well as Father Sun, right? So there's still some of this Incan as well as this Catholicism mesh that comes together. But they are very in tune with Mother Earth. They're very in tune with the rhythms of Mother Earth, and they're very reverent of Mother Earth. So they actually offer despachos, which are like gifts to Mother Earth. And then in that, they ask that Mother take away like maybe pain or sorrow or sadness or any of the things that you might be dealing with. And you can also set intentions. Like, so if you think from a manifestation standpoint, you could set intentions for what you want to call in instead. And this despacho process, which you burn these little despachos, is the way, it's the means to do that. And then they actually have guides who help you through that process. They're kind of like their version of shamans, so to speak, that help you through this process. And so we kept hoping this lady would come that would walk us through this process. And because of the quarantine, she couldn't get in to see us because the roads were all blocked down. And finally, I said, you know, let's just do a fire ceremony anyway. Well, we've got a fireplace, you know, we had a fire pit if we want to use that. And let's just write the things down, the heavy burdens, the sadness, the frustration, the sorrow, the guilt, the shame. Let's write it all down, those things that we need to let go of to be lighter, put it on a piece of paper, and then we'll all burn it in the fire, and then we'll call in new intentions. So it was a rainy night, the night that we decided to do it. It ended up being a rainy night, so we had to do an indoor fire. But it was this amazing experience because it was a circular room where you sat on the floor on mats, and it was their music room. So there was like drums and flutes and stuff like that if you wanted. And then they had a beautiful fireplace right there. And so it felt really sacred to be in this space together. And it was all five of us, my daughter's there too. And we're writing down the things that we need to let go. And it was so powerful because one of the ladies there had experienced major, major trauma. I mean, all the women had, but they'd been working on it quite a bit. But this one particular lady hadn't had anybody help her, like let go of, you know, she had been molested and, you know, just these things, and just letting a lot of the anger and that frustration and that victim and all of that go. And so we just had her write everything down that she was ready to let go of on that piece of paper. And what was amazing is our friend Rebecca, who's the channeler, she said, okay, they want you to include things on your list. And she sat down with each of us individually and said, Danielle, they want you to include this, this, and this on your list. She sat down with Katie, they want you to let go of this. Stop worrying about your mom. You know, don't worry about your mom and dad. You know, the things that a 12-year-old worries about. Did that with the other women as well. And then it felt so cleansing to throw things in the fire. And like one person's, like Katie's paper didn't catch on fire. So it was kind of fun because at the end I used my paper, lit it, and caught it on fire. So I was like, oh, that's kind of...
Right. The symbolism and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm going to help my daughter release and let some of these worries go. And then the one gal that hadn't been constantly kind of cleansing, hers took forever to burn. And the intuitive, she says, yeah, this has been a long time coming. So yeah, let's let it take its time. And I was like,
What a sacred place to have all this letting go. And I really believe rituals are so healing and therapeutic, but to do that in that sacred space. And I think we don't have to go to Peru, anyone listening, you don't have to go to Peru to have this experience, but I think what you're writing it down and lighting and fire, I've done that before, and it's really good for releasing for sure.
It is. And then it's really important to call in the new intentions, right? So, because you want to fill that space back in. And so we wrote, you know, set intentions for what is it we want to call in? What's the new I am? That was one of the things that the intuitive kept saying is you need to claim your new I ams. I am strong. I am, you know, beautiful. I am successful. I am whatever those new I ams that, you know, because a lot of times we say, I'm no good at that. That's right. A disempowering I am. She's saying we start replacing those with the empowering I ams. And so we wrote out and in the languaging, she said they want you to use, and they was being the guides or whoever she was channeling. They want you to use very specific languaging here. And it said something like, I now command through the God in action in me, right? Which was interesting wording. I now command through the God in action in me. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
And then you write out what you're commanding, that I am going to be successful, wealthy, abundant, whatever that is. You write those out. And then she says, and they want you to sign it and they want you to date it. Which would mean.
Cool. I'm so glad you're sharing this. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely going to do this. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, the next day I just felt so much lighter because, you know, I'd mentioned, I'm being triggered so much by different things and stuff that I needed to resolve in my own life. And I felt so much lighter the next day. What was so beautiful also is just, you know, everybody has different beliefs. And so we need to honor and respect that everybody's beliefs, but the things that seemed fanciful and impossible started to unfold. You know, my daughter has some pretty unique gifts, and one is that she can communicate with things empathically or telepathically. And so one of the trees was, we were under an ancient tree. She's the Lukuma tree. I call her Mama Pacha, and she's over 1200 years old. Nobody knows for sure, but they believe she's over 1200 years old. And she, what her branches just kind of span over the whole crown chakra area, which is actually our rooms. We're right under her branches and on over her roots. And it was just such a nurturing energy.
I want to go to this place. Yes.
Very magical, very profound place. And so we would oftentimes just sit underneath her branches. You know, they had a beautiful lawn space underneath there, this beautiful patch of green. And we would just sit under her branches and we would talk. Or Katie might just build little fairy houses or something like this. Well, something magical happened. One of the many magical things that happened was Katie is a very cautious child in general. And what happened there is all that caution kind of got thrown to the wind. She was running around feeling completely safe. And she would run around barefoot. Now, this particular area of Peru has tarantulas. It has some leeches in the soil. It has scorpions. And part of me was like, like, oh my God, oh my God. Like when I started to see what was in the ground, in the soil, I started to freak out. And then something told me, don't worry, I've got her. Like, we're going to take care of her. And I felt like, for me, it felt like it might be that tree who's just kind of the guardian of the garden. I was like, I didn't know what, but I felt like, no, don't worry, we got her. We're going to take care of her. And she ran around barefoot that whole time and nothing ever happened to her. And of course, the residents there, the Peruvians, are like, oh, people shouldn't be barefoot here, you know, which was really interesting. But I heard like, no, this is very cleansing and healing for her to let her run around barefoot. And one of the things that was really quite amazing, I've heard people talk about seeing fairies. And I'm like, that's possible. I've never seen a fairy, but it's possible, right? You know, I always stay open to it. Anything's possible.
Right.
And one night I came in and Katie was in the room by herself, which says a lot. And she's laying there and she's all cozy in her bed and she's looking up at the ceiling and she says, Mom, there's a fairy up there. Just fairy, you know, like, oh, there's a fairy up there. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, where is it? You know, I'm just staying inquisitive. And she says, right up there in the eaves. And she points and I said, oh, that's really, what does it look like? And I can't see anything. Right. But I don't just say, no, you're crazy. You know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, what does it look like? You know, and she's like, it's just this tiny little light. And it's just, and then one, I said, well, you should ask her what her name is. And so she did. And I can't remember off the top of my head. It was something with an F, Farron. I think it was Farron.
Huh.
And she says, it's Farron, right? And I said, oh, that's really cool, right? And then one night I came back and she's just laying in there and I come in the room and she's staring up at the ceiling, like wide-eyed. And I said, what is up there? And she says, there's so many fairies up there, Mom. And I said, really? She goes, there's tons of them. I said, do you think Farron brought her family? She goes, yes. And she goes, there's just all these lights up there. And I look up and I can't see anything, right? But she could see something, you know? She was just wide-eyed, just staring at this light show on the ceiling, you know? And then I called the intuitive over. I'm like, Rebecca, you know, she's seen some fairies, and these women were so great because they were all open to it, you know, all right. Open to possibility. And so Rebecca comes over there and she's looking up at the ceiling and she gets her camera. And she goes, let's see if we can capture on phone, because she had been practicing capturing energetic things on phone, orbs. Uh-huh. And so she managed to get some activity on her camera, just a little bit of blips of light, right? That just super like fuzzy blips of light, but she managed to get some things on her camera. And she said, I said, Rebecca, could you see him? She says, only with the camera. I can't see him with my eye. She goes, but I know they're there. I can, because a lot of times she can sense them. She's like, I know they're there, but I can't physically, you know, see them with my eyes. And then I said, well, you know, Katie asked where Farron lives, and there was a bromeliad, which is a beautiful pink flower. They sell them in shops here. You can get them as house plants, but there they grow like air plants in the trees. And there was one beautiful bromeliad that was growing in this ancient tree. And she said, that's where she lives, isn't this bromeliad? And I thought, how cool is that? You know, so there's just really cute, beautiful, sweet little magical moments. We had fun moments where Rebecca couldn't sleep. She had the hardest time sleeping. She goes, I know there's something in my room. I can feel it. She's like, I know there's something in my room. She had a tarantula in her room. And Rebecca is terrified.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm terrified of baby spiders. I'm terrified. I would die. Oh my God. I don't think I'm going there now.
She totally knew it was there, right? And one other person had a big spider show up in her room. But yeah, so she's terrified of this. But this is part of our work to do, is to recognize where we get fears triggered. Because are they really rational fears, right? Nice. And there's this part of it, are we afraid? For me, I'm more afraid of the unseen, right? If I know, like if I can sense something's there and I can't see it, there have been times where I'm like, let me out of here, you know, like a haunted hotel or something.
Right, right.
Get me out of here. I know there's something in here. I don't know what it is, but I can't see it. I'm going to get out, you know. Yeah. For her, you know, the physical, there was that element of some of the physical that she could see, and this spider terrified her. But what was hilarious is she's like, we're all in bed. And I hear this, like, right below us is Adele, and she's banging on Adele's door, and she's like, Adele, Adele, Adele. And I didn't hear what it was, but I could hear that she was all worked up. And it turned out that, you know, she's like, Adele, the spider's in my room and it just came out and I need you to catch it. Blah, blah, blah. And Adele's like, okay, you know. So Adele comes over with her and she's getting ready to help catch it, and they see it. And Adele at first thinks it's just this little thing. She's like, oh, Rebecca, that's no big deal. And then she says, the spider like unfurled itself. She's like, oh my God. So Adele started to like panic a little bit. And she's like, oh yeah, that's a good sized spider. And then she's trying to call the spider. It's okay. Let me just catch you. We're just going to put you outside.
And I'd run 10 miles barefoot outside at dark. I don't care. I'd be freaking out. Oh my gosh.
And this is what was so funny. We have a picture of it. Rebecca, there's a rock in her room. It was really cool. They kept this huge stone rock in the middle of in her floor of her room, so you can meditate on it and all this stuff. So she's standing on that rock and she's got her cell phone flashlight on because she's supposed to be illuminating things for Adele, but she's shaking and freaking out so much working. And she's like a little girl on that rock, you know. And Adele's like, Rebecca, you need to calm down. I need to see what I'm doing. You know, it's just the whole dynamic of this was just, we were just cracking up the next day when we heard what had happened, you know.
And tell me they got the spider. Did they get the spider?
They got the spider and they put her out. And Rebecca was able to more or less calm down and sleep a little bit that night, you know, but she realized that was part of her work to do, was let go of the fear of spiders.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm like, I don't even want to go near that place. That's so crazy.
Yeah, and the one other person I helped, she had a spider in her room. I helped her catch it too, you know, but and Rebecca had a lot of magical things happen, you know, where she did see orbs. They have baths that are like crystal light baths, very rare apparently. There's not a lot of them in the world, but you use the crystals intensify the light and help cleanse and just kind of restore your body. So they actually had one of those there at the resort. I didn't use it, but Rebecca did. Only a handful of people are certified to actually have them. Yeah, like there's a special process as a person you have to go through to be able to have one of these, which is really interesting. So there's only a handful of people that actually have them. And so Rebecca actually has two of them. She knew about them and she was like, I'm going to use this one. And while she was in there, she had some, like she could see these, she took out her phone in the pitch black and she could see all these like beams of light in the room that she couldn't visibly see with her eyes, but showed up on camera, which was really, she's like, I could feel there was really cleansing, healing energy in the room. I didn't know what it was, but so
how
just
long were you guys there for?
Amazing stuff. We were there 3.5 weeks,
which was supposed to only be how long?
It was supposed to be maybe a week and a half, if that. It was, yeah.
So how did you get out? Tell us that story.
We got out. So the whole time that we were there, you know, we knew we needed to get out, and our flights had all been canceled because they weren't sanctioned by the government. They were through the commercial airlines. And once the government closed their borders down, the commercial airlines were basically not being permitted to fly in or out. So we had to, at first there was confusion about maybe we just rebook our commercial airlines and the quarantine will be done by that point and we'll be able to fly out. But then the quarantine got extended. So it was like, okay, so now what? How are we going to get out now? And the only way to get out was through the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Peru, that you had to get on a list with them and let them know that you were in Peru and you needed a flight out. They weren't obviously prepared for any of this. They were not organized. They were not very communicative. They would send you emails, but it would be a generic email out to everybody, just kind of explaining their process of getting you out. But every time they would kind of say, we're clearing out this particular region of Peru, we were never on it. And so, you know, part of it was, how much energy do we put into getting out? How much do we trust that things are being worked out for us? And that divinely we are going to find a way out, you know, the steps are going to start illuminating and showing up. And there was a lot of times where people would go into panic and worry in the group in different ways, you know. For me, I had a lot of outside pressure from my family to get out, and like, you need to do more things. And my mother-in-law was putting pressure on my husband, which was causing him to stress out. You know, so when I would call him, I would just hear all this tension. So it was very kind of stressful to kind of figure out how to get out and wade through all the confusion. But I just kept staying present to, you know, no, we are going to get out. We're going to hold the intention that it's going to be with ease, as much ease as possible. And one of the things that showed up for me when I was booking tickets on the commercial airline is I said, I'm going to book it for the 3rd, April 3rd. I feel like that's the day we're supposed to get out. And I didn't know why, but I just trusted that. What was amazing was that the other ladies had booked to try to get out sooner. And by the time their date came, their plane flight got canceled. And so it kept moving further and further back. And so we would try all kinds of different things, you know, contacting our senators, our local senators, DC, the Trump administration, just different things, writing letters, just saying, hey, we're here in Peru and we need help out because we don't seem to be getting any personal response. So we have no idea if we're actually on a list. We have no idea that they're actually fully aware of us. There's no confirmation. And so there were some people, like two, I think in particular, that I think Rebecca's office, one of her senators, in Kansas stepped up and said, you're right, there is, it seems like there's not a lot of information coming out to you. And so she really jumped in. She's like, I'm going to insist that they start giving me information and letting me know.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So that we had like a couple people who really stepped in, but also the Peruvians really stepped in. The people, the residents at the resort, not in addition to the managers, the actual staff at the resort, they were amazing. I mean, just super heart-centered people that really wanted to help us get out. And so it was like, it was this amazing thing, like where the right things would show up on, at the right time. Like we couldn't see, like you weren't supposed to be able to go from the resort to the airport. Most people who tried to just do that, the police would stop them and say, where's your paperwork that says you're allowed to be on the road?
Because it was like a strict quarantine, right? You couldn't even leave your house. So everything, none of Peruvians could work either. Everybody was stuck, like strict, like, was it like martial law type thing?
Totally. Yeah. Oh, totally martial law. Yeah. You can't be out on the street without permission. You could go to the market, but you could only send one person from your family. Mm-hmm. And you had to prove that you were a resident of that city or staying in that city. So it was very, so the people who had tried to get to the airport, they a lot of times got shut down and sent back home. And so even with, when they did arrange flights, the embassy arranged flights for people to get out, a lot of people didn't even make it to the airport to get on the flights. So they missed their flight out and then they had to scramble to try to get them out. So then they realized they had to help, like create a letter that, you know, we could provide to the police saying, yes, we are permitted to go to the airport. We do have a confirmed flight out, et cetera, et cetera. And then they would let you through all these checkpoints and to get over to the airport.
You know, there's really two ways you could have done this. You could have been, and I'm sure a lot of people were, in like total panic. Like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna do this? I'm so scared. Or you can do what you did and enlist spirit's help, which I think is the message with all things in life. Things get hard, you can do the ego way, or you can say, you know what, I'm just going to trust the universe. I'm going to trust this, you know, miraculous world, and with it's going to happen with ease. So did you stay calm? Like, I can't believe you stayed so calm.
That is my strength. You know, that's one of my gifts, is I stay calm. Everybody's like, how do you always stay so calm all the time? I'm like, things are a lot better if you hold the intention that things will unfold with ease.
Yes.
With ease. Yes. That's what I love about Abraham, right?
Yep.
Ease and flow.
Yep.
So anything we can do to get ourselves back centered into a space of feeling ease and flow, when we start to panic and we go, no, this is going to unfold with ease. We're going to stay in the flow.
Because when you're in panic, you can't come up with any ideas. But when you're in the ease and flow, you get the divine inspiration. It's almost like the divine is saying the whole time, like, here's the next step. And if you're in a panic, you can't hear it.
Exactly.
So you, like, the fact you set that intention, it's going to be easy. You open up the floodgates to say, okay, tell me my next step. So tell us what else happened.
Miraculous things started to show up. You know, one gal called over, she was somewhere in the Sacred Valley area. She called over to our resort and she says, hey, I understand you guys have a shuttle that you guys use. Is there any chance that that shuttle is actually certified to take people to the airport? Because most of the taxi drivers there, and when I say most, I mean like 98% of them, didn't have papers. They were not permitted to be on the road. They had to stop driving. Because they never, you know, crossed their T's and dotted their I's and showed that they were legitimate taxi businesses. When the quarantine happened, that kind of bit them in the butt, you know, and it bit everybody else in the butt, because all of a sudden we didn't have transportation. So there was only a handful of taxis and shuttle drivers that actually had the paperwork that allowed them to go through these checkpoints. Uh-huh. And our resort happened to have their shuttle driver. He didn't just work for our resort, but their shuttle driver actually had the paperwork that permitted him to go through. And so people were desperately calling to the different resorts, trying to find someone to take him to the airport. And they called, one lady called over to our resort and she goes, do you have a shuttle driver that has his papers and can take me to the airport? And they said, yes. And they said, but how did you get a flight out? Did you get a confirmed flight? She said, I did. They said, through the U.S. Embassy. And she said, yes. How did you do that? You know, and the manager was smart enough to ask her questions. Yeah. And one of the things she said is, I got a letter that gave me permission and confirmed that I had a flight out and gave me permission to get through those checkpoints that I have to provide to the police. And he says, and Rebecca was smart. She goes, can you have her send us that letter? And sure enough, that we ended up having to use that letter.
You photocopied it kind of thing and used it as your own?
Yeah, she emailed it to us and then, yeah, we all printed it out. Yep.
Nice.
She never would have done that, you guys, we never would have got to the airport because we never had confirmed seats until 8 p.m. the night we were supposed to leave. Like, we were supposed to leave at like 7 or 8 in the morning, and here it's 8 o'clock at night, and we still don't have confirmed seats on the flight. We've been told that we're supposed to get confirmation, but we still hadn't received it. But we just had to move forward in faith and just trust that at some point when the time was right, we were going to get those confirmed seats. So we said, okay, there was a guy that was high up in the embassy that finally contacted Rebecca and said, I'm going to help you guys out. You guys need to get over to the airport, and I'm going to work on my end to get you guys out, and we'll get you the confirmation, but you need to just start moving forward. So we said, okay, we're going to trust, we're going to trust that everything's going to work out. So we started to arrange with the shuttle person how to get out. We started printing out the materials. We started looking for a place to stay in Cusco. Almost all the hotels were shut down. So we had to just keep calling all the different hotels, right? Trying to find a place that was semi close to the airport. And Rebecca's phone doesn't call out in Peru. She didn't have an international plan, so she couldn't call to the places in Peru. But somehow she pushed a button to show us the phone number so one of us could call, and it rang through and it actually got a hold of someone. It was I thought you said your phone didn't work down here.
No. Oh my gosh. Miracles.
I know. And I said, she's like, should I book it? I'm like, book it. I'm like, even if that's not that's not the final place we stay, book it. We got a hold of a live person. By all means, book it. Let's use it. We'll just use that as a stepping stone because we just needed to find the next stepping stone. So, and then Rebecca thought of a guy named Silverio who was our guide on one of our outings. He's a local guide and he works for the resort. And she goes, doesn't he live in Cusco? And the manager said, yeah, he lives in Cusco. And she goes, can we talk to him? Maybe he can help us. Because once we got to Cusco, our shuttle driver left us. And then we had to find a way to get from the hotel over to the airport. And there were no taxis running in the town.
It's not like you can walk either.
Too far.
Yeah.
So we're like, great. How do we get to the freaking hotel, or to get to the airport? So she was like, I bet he can help. And so we called over to Silverio, and Silverio was like, there are no taxis. He's like, I can walk over to the police station and see if they'll let me drive, see if I can get the papers. So he did. And he stayed in line. He talked to the police and tried to get the papers, and they said, I don't remember the reason, but yeah, we're not going to do that for you. So then he's like, okay, plan B. He says, you guys are going to have to take the bus. We're like, okay, you might have to help us with that a little bit, because the bus routes were all messed up. They were all with the quarantine. They weren't on schedule. It was all messed up. So he said, I will get you guys on the bus and I will get you to the airport. But he went one step further as well. He was absolutely amazing. He was like our angel who showed up at the right time. He actually said, when we arrived at the hotel in Cusco, the lady that was checking us in said, we just got notification from the Peruvian government. They're enacting a new quarantine measure. And that is that starting tomorrow, only men can be out.
What?
And he's like, tomorrow only men can be out. The next day, women. The next day, man and woman, then men, then and we're like, what the, what kind of crazy? So if we were on the roads tomorrow, which is when we were supposed to get to the airport, we would be stopped by the police because we were women and we were not allowed to be out. And so there's another chink in, and I'm like, good God, God, you're really throwing the challenges at us, right?
Well, you wanted to have a spiritual journey, so there you go.
Yeah.
So you ask, you shall receive.
Now what, right? And so Barry was like, we got to get you to a hotel next to the airport. Now, he'd already been trying to find a hotel that was open, that was next to the airport, and hadn't had any success. He says, I'm going to try one more time. And he physically walk down that street, right? And he just kept walking up and down, knocking on doors and asking if they had room. And there happened to be a lady that was on the street that he recognized, and he went up and talked to her because he knew her from a past job. And he explained the situation. She says, I have room. And it was this little, you know, rundown hostel. It's not super clean or anything. It was very rundown. But she says, I have room. And Silveria is like apologetic to it. She's like, I have to let you know, this is not American conditions, you know? And we're like, we don't care.
Right? Oh, no, you don't care at all. Like, give me a tent. Well, except for the spiders, but yeah.
Yeah, get us over there. So he got us over to the hostel. She didn't speak any English, but we were able to just get, you know, enough communication through. And somehow Rebecca, who didn't speak any Spanish, somehow talked to her about providing dinner. And then, so the next thing we know, we've got, because everything, the restaurants are all shut down. So how do you get food?
Yeah.
Right? And only the markets. You have to make your own food. So, but she's like, no, I got chicken, I got rice, I got broccoli. And she brought us a whole dinner. And as we're sitting at dinner, we're in this hostel right literally across the street from the main entrance of the airport. We're looking right at it. And we're thinking, God, this is amazing that we got here. And we're eating this dinner and we're just so grateful, right? But we still don't have confirmed seats, but we're so grateful just to be this close to the airport. And we're like just holding space that we're going to get on a flight. We're going to get on a flight. We don't know how, but we're just going to trust, you know, and we're celebrating and we're eating our food, and Rebecca managed to get a hold of some wine. And so we're just enjoying ourselves and laughing and playing games with Katie. And all of a sudden this confirmation comes, email comes through, bing, onto one person's phone. She has a confirmed seat.
Uh-huh.
Yay!
Yay! I feel like I'm watching a movie this whole time. I'm like, oh my God, I hope it works out.
And then pretty soon, bling, another person's coming, bling, bling, you know, and all four of us have confirmed seats on the flight. And we're like, oh my God, Helen, you know, this is like,
yes.
She's gonna be on that flight. So yeah, so we got on that flight. It was the only flight out because the airport was shut down. So it was the only flight out that day, completely empty airport.
Did it go to Lima or where did it go?
Yeah, I went to Lima. And then from Lima, we went into Miami. And it was so crazy because each of these airports were like Cusco's, no flights in, no flight out, unless it was approved by the government. So it was only 1 to 2 flights a day. So it was completely dead. There were no other people besides us. When we got to Miami, that airport is massive and it was empty. It was the weirdest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was incredible. So, I mean, this was lots of miracles. And
lots of miracles.
So it was the people who would go above and beyond to help us get out. Like Silverio, who was beating the streets, trying to help us get out. You know, we are so grateful. You don't see that very much anymore. And people were like, you know, like some people were worried about Peru. And I said, you don't need to be worried about Peru. Yes, the government's like really enforcing this. And they would ticket you and throw you in jail if you broke quarantine. So they wow. were definitely no business. But at the same time, they're good people, very sweet people. And so we just feel really blessed that they just took us under their wing and helped us out, as well as, you know, we had different people step up at the government level to help us out as well.
But you attracted this. You attracted this through your high energy, high vibration, you know, all of that inner spiritual work. You let go. I mean, there's so many, I'm assuming you're writing about this, Rebecca, because this
I know this is
such an amazing situation, but I guess what really got me is at the very end, like, again, I really feel like I was watching a movie, listening to this whole thing, but at the end, how you were all so grateful and then bam. You got your seats. And that's how life works. Life works like that sometimes. Those miracles happen oftentimes at the very last minute. And it's really in that moment you have to have faith. You had no other choice, Danielle, but to have faith in that moment.
That's right.
Because what else are you going to do? Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
What does worrying do?
You can panic, but it's not going to do you any good, right?
No. No.
And
that
we
is an
actually,
amazing story.
We actually flew out on the date that I had predicted, April 3rd. Even Rebecca, the intuitive, was like, how did you know we were going to fly out on the 3rd? And I said, I just knew. I just felt it in my body. We were supposed to fly out on the 3rd. That was really fun.
You are a powerful creator. This is the greatest story. I'm so glad you shared this whole story in my podcast, because these are the stories I love to share with people. Life is miraculous, and having that faith and having that trust, and miracles happen at the last minute. But in the meantime, find that place of gratitude, you know, and those people who showed up for you, Danielle, are no accident.
Right.
You're no accident. Like, especially that woman, so many good stories, but that woman who like calls about the shuttle, and then Rebecca's like, well, hey, how'd you get that paper? And Rebecca showing up 3 days, you know, before this whole trip. Oh, it's just such a great story. This is law of attraction in action. Okay. It's all just perfect. So, oh my gosh, Danielle, thank you for sharing the story with us. This is amazing.
Yeah. It's not my story. Well, we were there, you know, all of us felt very strongly that we were supposed to write a book or multiple books about this, that this was happening, not just for us, but for other people as well.
Yes. And that's why I'm so glad you're sharing this with my people, because this is absolutely what we all need to hear. We all need to know that miracles happen all the time. And what has it done to your life since you've been back?
Oh my gosh. All I can say is it opened my eyes so much to there's so much more going on in the universe than most of us realize. And that if you start to open your mind, you got to stay open, right? You've got to stay open to the possibility of really amazing things happening out there. You know, fairies, for example, you know, that may seem far-fetched, but that doesn't mean they don't exist, you know? We need to stay open to all the ways that source or energy is working with us. And really recognize that there's a way more going on out here in this universe than we realize. And a lot more is going to be showing up for people if they stay open to it.
Yes. Yes. Well, we're going to end there, Danielle. Thank you so much. This story is miraculous. There's nothing I can say. I almost want to call it the miraculous story. And I cannot wait for you to write this book. And I'm so glad you're sharing it on my podcast, so everyone listening can hear how wonderful, miraculous this world is. And I'm so glad you made it back. Like, here you're back, I know you're back. And I'm like listening, like, God, I hope they made it. Like, obviously you did. So, well, thank you. And Danielle, is there a way people can get in touch with you if they want to know more about you and just maybe just even say, tell you what an amazing story that was? How can they reach out to you?
Yeah, they're probably the easiest way is to go to my website, which is danielleisaac.com. So DANIELLE. And then Isaac is ISAAC.com. So I have lots of doubles.
Yes.
Double L's and double A's. But yeah, so danielleisaac.com. And then my article that I wrote about that, the blog I wrote about that, getting out of Peru is on there. But yeah, that's probably the easiest way for people to contact me.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. I know this is a little bit longer of a podcast than I normally do, but this whole story had to be shared. So I'm really glad to have this. And thank you, Danielle. Thank you for that wonderful story.
You're welcome. Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. If you have a story you want to share in my podcast, please reach out to me. The world needs to hear these stories and I would love to hear from you. Just go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And thank you again for listening. I hope you have a wonderful, miraculous day and happy manifesting. Thank you again for listening and joining me on my podcast. If you want to learn more about me, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And on there, I have lots of goodies, including guided meditations and inspirational posts and blogs. And of course, I'm here to help you as your coach. So thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.